The Fan on Demand. Of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, just a few hours away from Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet TV Network. We are brought to you, as always, by Home Hardware. I am Jeff Blair, joined this afternoon, by my very good friend,
thanks,
colleague,
sir. How
Mr.
you doing,
Kevin Barker? I'm doing well.
Happy week.
Happy week. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a laugh ride around the Jays all week.
It's been a tough watch. Let's put it that way.
Indeed, it has. The Jays lost 6-1 to the Brewers last night. The last 24 batters? Are we talking 24 batters or retired in a row? Something like that.
Yeah, Fires, I think, 18, and then...
Yeah. They weren't very good.
24, yeah.
They weren't very good. They'll wrap up the 8-game road trip. They're 1-6 in the road trip, by the way. They'll wrap it up this afternoon, 2:10 p.m. first pitch, of course, right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan on Sportsnet. R.A. Dickey against Jimmy Nelson. And then the Jays have an off day. Then they're home for 9 games against the Rays, Red Sox, and Yankees. A 9-game homestand that, quite frankly, means not as much as we thought it would mean at the
what if they go 9
start
and
of the season. If they go 9-0, then it's the most important homestand since 1993.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It could happen. Yeah, I mean, they're a much better team at home than they are on the road. It's obvious. They score a lot more runs at home. They hit more home runs.
They seem to pitch better.
They pitch better. That's a weird weird stat because the ball carries well here and...
Yeah, it has not been a good road trip by any stretch of the imagination. A couple of newsy items. We'll be joined, by the way, by the voice of the Blue Jays, Jerry Howarth from Miller Park, later on in the hour. A couple of newsy items. The Jays have apparently, although we haven't seen anything official, Dalton Pompey has tweeted last night that he was getting promoted to AAA Buffalo. He is, of course, the local kid who has rocketed through the system
fast.
This will be his third stop, his third level this year. He, of course, played in the Futures game, the Futures All-Star game, if you want to call it that, at the All-Star game this year in Minneapolis. So Dalton Pompey tweeting out that he's on his way to Buffalo. Now, I guess if you wanted to extrapolate, you could say that there's a chance that maybe that means Kevin Pillar is going to come up. I don't know. The rosters are about to expand anyhow, so they may be reading a little too much into it. But I'll just give you Dalton Pompey's numbers very quickly. At AA New Hampshire and Single A Dunedin, which is High A this year, he is hitting .312. He's got an .863 OPS, 9 home runs, 46 RBIs, 49 walks, 74 strikeouts. Should say that at AA, his strikeout to walk ratio is an awful lot better. He struck out 18 times, walked 14. He's got an OPS of .851 at AA New Hampshire. So, Dalton Pompey telling everybody that he is on the way to Buffalo. And the other newsy item, I guess we can have a discussion about this. The other newsy item is, according to the lineup submitted by John Gibbons today, Juan Francisco will not be in the lineup against Jimmy Nelson. And, thanks. I'm getting this from everywhere. I'm getting the Brewers lineup. Danny Valencia will be at third base. This is the Jays lineup. Reyes, Cabrera, Bautista, Encarnacion. He will be back at first base. Rasmus Valencia at third, as we said. Josh Tholey, of course, the personal catcher. Ferrari, Dickey, Munenori, Kawasaki at second base. The Brewers, Gomez, Lucroy, Braun, Ramirez, Parra, Scooter Jeanette, who's, I got to admit, I had no idea the type of player he was. Scooter Jeanette, Mark Reynolds, who just crushes teams. John Segura, and again, Jimmy Nelson. So there you go. That is the lineup for today's game. Juan Francisco not starting against
You think against there's some Jimmy unhappy Nelson. Jays fans that he's not in the lineup?
Danny Valencia gets it. Look, we've made the point about Juan Francisco. We talked about it on Jays Connected last night.
We talk a lot about
Juan Francisco. Juan Francisco is an okay bench player. I have no problem with Juan Francisco coming back next year and being on the bench. Mm-mm. As a guy that I can bring off the bench late in the inning, late in the game, I should say, to face a right-hander. I do not want to see Juan Francisco in the field every day. I would just assume that Juan Francisco's glove be burned. But having said all that, I still believe there's a place for this guy on the roster this year and next year. As I said, he's not an everyday player. Mm-hmm. He was not pitched as an everyday player when he came up here. He was an emergency fill-in, and because of injuries, I mean, he's just, it's like anything else in baseball, right, Kevin? The ball finds you.
That's exactly right.
The ball finds you eventually.
It's perfect world. If you could have your entire lineup healthy all at the same time, that's what you do. You don't have him in the lineup every day, but perfect world, that's not happening here. So you put him at third base, you put him at first base, he has to play, he has to hit on a very consistent basis, and he can't hit breaking balls. And he hasn't made an adjustment to the point where he just doesn't swing at him. If you can't do something, then just don't swing at it. That would make it that much better because let's say 7 times out of 10, a pitcher's not going to throw a breaking ball for a strike. It's a show-me pitch to set it up for something else. And if you keep swinging at it, the show-me pitches, they don't have to throw them. They can just keep throwing that thing that's not a strike, and you look like you don't make adjustments and you don't know how to make adjustments. And that's the way it looks. I think we talk too much about him because it just seems like on a more times than not, he comes up in big situations like he did last night with that second and third situation, nobody out. And there's guys, you know, Gibby was saying today that he doesn't want his guys to change their approach. Well, there's certain guys in that lineup that do not have to change their approach, but the bottom end of that lineup do have to change their approach because when you walk to the plate, you have to know the situation. You have to know what's going on, and you have to know that your team has trouble scoring runs. And when you get a chance to score runs against a good team on the road with a guy that's pitching well, you have to do the little things, which means get them over, get them in, which means I shorten my swing, which means I try to pull something. I try to hit a ball on the ground. That's being a big leaguer. That's not being a minor leaguer. That's being a big leaguer. That's knowing what you do well and what you don't do well. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about changing approaches because we know Juan Francisco has a big swing and he can't hit a breaking ball, but he can hit a fastball.
Mm-hmm.
And he does know what's going on, and he does know that a guy's throwing fastballs a lot.
Yeah.
And he's not throwing his breaking ball. We saw it. Obviously, everybody else saw it, that's how he's getting these guys out with fastballs. Well, I shorten my swing. I go up. I do something a little different to help my team. That's part of it. That's what playoff teams do. And right now, the Blue Jays are not a playoff team because they don't do these things on an everyday basis. And until they start doing these things, we're going to keep seeing this up and down thing where they win and they don't win. And then they look. It's contagious. And that's what you're seeing.
Is this spell we're seeing from the Blue Jays now, does this maybe reinforce, or does this maybe, Kevin, in your mind, just kind of plant the seed about how valuable Brett Laurie really is to this team?
I think so.
I don't know if Brett Laurie would address all the off, because Brett Laurie's just as capable as anybody else in this team of throwing up the odd boneheaded at bat.
Sure.
I mean, we've seen that. But I'm beginning to, you know, I'm beginning to wonder as I look at this lineup, and I know, God, what is it? It's August 21st. It's August 20th. But I'm surprised at how noticeable his absence is.
Uh-huh.
I really am. Well, Edwin, I'm not. I mean, I figured Edwin was out of the lineup. Okay, that was the sign of the apocalypse. But I'm kind of surprised at how much they miss Brett Laurie.
I see it more as a presence. I think he gives attitude. He brings a different attitude to a team that they don't have here. This lineup doesn't have a whole lot of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And to play, you notice the Milwaukee Brewers have attitude.
They're a hard-ass team.
Exactly
they are
right.
A hard-ass team.
I mean, Carlos Gomez is the leadoff hitter. You see the swings he takes, it's attitude. This is who I am. But, you know, the difference is he puts balls in play.
Mm-hmm.
This is who I am, but I'm going to get the job done more times than not. That's the difference right now. But how many teams would not like to have the first four guys or a Colby Rasmus that's smoking hot? I mean, you have Reyes, Cabrera, Batista, Encarnacion, and Rasmus. How many teams wouldn't like to have those top five?
Yeah, I don't know about Rasmus.
Like I said, when he's hot, yeah, he's one of the best hitters in the league when he's hot.
Yeah, but he hasn't been hot since
That's what I'm saying. But yeah, who would not? Okay, the first four guys.
A hot Colby Rasmus. Absolutely.
How many of those teams would not like to have those top five? And we're talking about one guy and one Francisco, and then we talk about not having another guy. You still have these guys. This is what I'm saying. You still have enough guys that know how to get it done and have an everyday approach. Mm-hmm. You talk about you can throw not having an approach and not having to have an approach, but you do. When you face good teams, it's not like facing bad teams. Bad teams are bad teams because they don't do a lot of things good. Mm-hmm. Good teams are in first place, as you well know, because they do a lot of things good, which means they throw strikes and they get outs when they need to get outs and they get timely hits and they hit a lot of doubles. You see good teams hit doubles. That means they put pressure on defenses, which means, and they also put pressure on pitching staffs because they know they have to throw strikes with guys on base. That's the difference between playoff teams and the Blue Jays now.
If you talk to people who've managed in the majors for a long time, I mean, they'll tell you they view the double. The double, Cito Gaston used to say this. Felipe Alou said this as mm-hmm. well. Yeah, home runs are great. I'm not saying no one doesn't want to hit home runs. But you know what? Doubles are the sign of real good hitters.
Right.
Because quite often you've had to make an adjustment.
Well, you can say hit a double. Sometimes home runs are rally killers. I mean, you can look at it.
Yeah, people will say that. I don't know. I like home runs.
If it's a three-run homer, if you're hitting solo home runs, wouldn't you rather have a double after double? Like last night. I mean, that you have 10 hits, you have 7 doubles and 6 runs. Mm-hmm. That's productive.
It's efficient.
And you stand in the middle of the field. That's what was so impressive is they weren't out and around balls. Mm-hmm. They were all right center, left center, center field. Man, that's having an approach and that's getting a good pitch to hit and that's putting a good swing on balls and that's being in first place in August. That's how you do it. If you're a Jays hitter, And you want to know how to go about an approach, whether it's the first pitch or the fifth pitch, we talk about this. Why does it matter? You keep the merry-go-round going. You hit doubles, you hit singles, you get them on, you get them over, you get them in. That's good teams. And right now, let's face it, the Blue Jays are not doing enough of that. And it's showing up now. It didn't show up earlier in May because it was 7 or 8 to nothing or 6 to nothing in the second inning. And then it's easy to play like that. That's easy. But when you face good teams and you have situations where you don't have second and third with nobody out too many times.
Right. We are going to talk about Dalton Pompey, by the way, later on in the show and just how significant this move is. We'll get Jerry Hauer's thoughts on that in a few minutes. But just to give you an idea of the standings after play last night, the Jays are 64-62, 2 games above .500. They're 9 back in the East, 4.5 back in the wild card. And as I'm looking at the wild card standings right now, they have, drum roll please, Cleveland's tied with them. Cleveland, Yankees, Seattle, Detroit, Oakland, all those six teams, including the Jays, vying for the wild card. And Tampa Bay 7 games back in the wild card as well. So Tampa Bay coming in for a 3-game series here at the Rogers Center starting on Friday. Want to talk to you a little bit before we get to Jerry Hauer, Kevin, about Jay Happ last night. Of course, after we go in the air and everybody, we talk about how we'd exercise the option on Jay Happ's contract for next year.
3 1/3.
Yeah, he goes 3 1/3. Not looking good at all. 6 hits, 4 runs, 2 walks, mm-hmm. 3 Ks. I got to tell you, I don't know. I'm not going to make excuses for Jay Happ. I don't know how much of that was Jay Happ or how much of that was the Brewers' approach.
I think it's a little of both. I think you...
More Jay than the Brewers' approach, though?
Well, I think you have to... It gets back to that thing where you have to make adjustments. You know a team's being very aggressive, and they're being very aggressive with guys on base. What do? You have to have some sort of a plan. If they're going up swinging at a first-pitch fastball, really out over the plate, middle and up, you have to make an adjustment there. You have to figure some way out of getting the either out in front of balls or pitching backwards, which means throw first pitch breaking ball, throw changeups, throw anything different to make them think, well, I'm not going to get a first pitch fastball or I'm not going to get a second pitch fastball. I'm going to have to make an adjustment myself. We didn't see that. We kept seeing, and we even saw it with Todd Rebben for the first time I saw this year as he came in. He was sort of doing the same thing, which he was center cutting some balls. And when you're facing good teams at home, when the other good team is at their place, you can't do things like that. It's just this time of the year when every pitch matters, it gets to the point where you have to make good pitches. You have to figure ways out when things aren't working to do other things to get guys out. And that's the first time in the second half, anyway, that we saw Jay Happ where he did not do that.
I'm going to ask you about this team's – this is kind of a hockey phrase, compete level. It's a Randy Carlyle phrase. Yeah. What do you think of this team's compete level right now?
I think it's not – has anything to do with they're not competing. I mean, you
yep.
every day – well, yeah. You every day you go out, it's one of those things where it looks like when a pitcher's not pitching very well and it's 4-5 to nothing or 4-5 to 1 in the second or third inning, then it looks like guys are not competing. You can't say that. I mean, you know, they're showing up, they're professionals, they know how to go about it every day. But when you're down, and good teams can tell when you're down, mm-hmm. they can tell when you're not doing things the right way. And good teams, you know what good teams do? They beat bad teams. And we saw it last night. The Blue Jays right now are not a very good team. They're facing a really good team. That's what good teams do. And that's the difference. That's what I'm seeing. It's not a compete thing. You're a big leaguer. You're a professional. You've done it really for quite a bit of time. It's not a compete thing anymore. It's a you do your job the best you can. I'm going to do my job the best I can. And we're going to let the chips fall where they may. And right now they're not falling anywhere. So. Mm. That's the way I see it. You can't really say that a professional is not competing.
Well, I feel the same way. I mean, it's a phrase that fans like to throw out there when things your first reaction when things aren't going well and you don't exactly you may not be able to put your finger on it from a distance. Mm-hmm. Your first reaction is to say compete level. But you know what, Jerry Howarth, the voice of the Jays, will have the call of the game from Miller Park today, and he joins us on Baseball Central live. From Miller Park, which, by the way, Jerry, is one of the more beautiful ballparks in baseball, isn't it?
Well, it really is, and the roof is open, blue skies overhead. So, yes, this is one of the best retractable domes in baseball.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, before we get into some of the details of last night's game and what's going to happen today, I want to ask you about this idea taking hold in some quarters that the Jays' quote-unquote compete level isn't what it should be. I mean, I'm not seeing that. I'm just seeing a team that isn't hitting very well right now. I'm seeing a team that isn't getting the pitching it was getting before. I'm seeing a team that's not playing very good. I'm not seeing a team that isn't competing.
Well, in my opinion, I heard you and Kevin talking. First of all, I would agree with Kevin. Mm-hmm. This team is competing at its best level. But for me, and just my own opinion, mm-hmm. I thought last night was an example of what's happened to the Blue Jays here. They don't, for me, have their best players on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start with Colby Rasmus in center field. Anthony Gose has shown that this year he's a better center fielder, quite frankly, than Colby is.
Mm-hmm.
And there were four or five doubles around and two and over the head of Colby Rasmus that, in hindsight, might have been made plays and outs with Anthony Gose in center field. That helps Jay Happ or any starter when you get a play made as opposed to a play not made. Then I see Ryan Goins not at second base, and I see Munenori Kawasaki doing his very best. But relays from the outfield to home plate just haven't been there. That's twice now on this mm-hmm. road trip. That's defense. And then I see Juan Francisco for the last 2 months come up with runners at second and third, nobody out in the mm-hmm. second inning, and he strikes out. That's a problem. So there's three areas right there when you're talking Anthony Gose in center, Ryan Goins at second, and Brett Laurie at third, that makes this team significantly better because of not only the defense, but plays made as opposed to plays not made that reflects on a starting pitcher. And then I see the bullpen, too, and I think John Gibbons now really has to look around and with help from Alex Anthopoulos to add an arm into that bullpen because Todd Redman here on this road trip has had back-to-back innings, giving up 7 runs,
mm-hmm.
5 in 1 game. When the Blue Jays lost 11-5, you subtract that, it's a 1-run game, 2 last night, and with the plays not made, instead of 6-1, maybe it's 2-1, maybe it's 3-1, it changes everything. That, for me, is kind of a glimpse of where the Blue Jays are now, and it's not happening because of those reasons, in my opinion.
Jerry Howarth joining us on Baseball Central. Jerry, I mean, no surprise. I mean, I agree with you totally. I'm just going to ask you flat out. Why is Colby Rasmus still playing?
I do not know. I don't have an answer for that. I don't have an answer for why Ryan Goins is not at second base. I do know this, and looking back, Ryan Goins this year started 36 games at short and at second. Mm-hmm. A handful of games at short. I think they're about 7, the rest at second base. In those games, the Blue Jays are 20-16 with or without his bat. And without him at second base, they're 44-46. That tells you a little story about the need to have defense. And for me, he's the best second baseman I've seen since Roberto Alomar. And his bat, I know, is not what they want it to be, but you can't take away defense and put in others around that. You get exposed. So that's first and foremost. And when the Blue Jays had that great run, 21-9 in May, 5-0 to start June, Brett Laurie played both second and third. He missed six games because he had a problem right there as far as an injury, but not on the DL. The Blue Jays were 23-6 in the games that he started at second and third, so maybe he's the most valuable player on this team. He was 8-2 at third, 15-4 at second base, but it points out the athleticism on the field and the defense that the Blue Jays do not have right now.
Oh, yeah, and I know, Kevin, I know you want to jump in here, mm-hmm. but, you know, look, and my point with Anthony Gose is we all agree. I don't think Anthony Gose is a complete offensive package by any stretch of the imagination, but I'll take what he gives me defensively and what he contributes offensively over what I'm getting from Colby, over what I've gotten from Colby all year, frankly.
Well, let me give you an example here. The Milwaukee Brewers right now are one of the hottest teams in baseball. They've won 5 in a row. And coming into the game last night, they went 5-2 on their road trip. They hit as a club 2.14, 2.14, but their staff ERA was 2.21. That's a reflection of pitching, defense, plays made, very few errors. You can hit 2.14 in this game and go 5-2 on the road if you have pitching and defense. Mm-hmm. It's not the hitting. Now, yes, the Blue Jays have hit 7 home runs. That's the fewest in August, and the record's the poorest in August 4-12. But for me, it's not the offense. It's the plays not made, and then not hitting with men in scoring position, or i.e. Juan Francisco. There's another question. Why, when all these opportunities have been there and it just hasn't happened?
Yeah, Jerry, let me ask you. You saw last night a good team in the Milwaukee Brewers made. You could see them making in-game adjustments. We don't want to bring that up and say that you have to make adjustments all the time, and there are certain guys on the Blue Jays team that don't have to make them, but the Milwaukee Brewers are obviously in first place for a reason because they make in-game adjustments at the plate, and they were doing it yesterday off of Jay Happ. Can you tell me why at times the Blue Jays cannot do that? Because you see most teams would love to have guy like Reyes, Cabrera, Batista, Encarnacion, and Rasmus when he's hot. Why can this entire team not collectively make adjustments against good pitching and good teams?
Kevin, I think it gets down to the talent base that you have to work with. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the team that's out there, even the lineup today, Munenori Kawasaki, Danny Valencia filling in for Juan Francisco, Colby Rasmus. Let's pause right here. Rasmus and Francisco, what, 120, 25 strikeouts, mm-hmm. 25 walks. That's not a hitting coach. That's not making adjustments. That's the inability to try to think about adjustments and not implement it. That's the talent base that John Gibbons right now has to work with. Mm-hmm. These are issues right now that have plagued the Blue Jays all year, and they've had as many as 10 Buffalo Bisons on this team. So I look at it as more what you have is what you see is what you have, mm-hmm. and are they trying? Yes. Are they competing? Yes. Are they giving it their best? Yes. But right now against other teams that are better than them, it shows that the other teams are better because their talent is better.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, you made a point earlier about the bullpen and the need for a bullpen arm. And I think we all agree that, you know, people are going to criticize John Gibbons, but I always tell people, you look at the bullpen you have right now and who's in it. You look at what you thought you were going to have coming out of spring training. And I'll give John Gibbons credit for being able to get anything out of this group right now. And that's not a reflection of the talent of some of the pitchers. It's just that it's not the bullpen we thought it would be. Having said that, where do you think that other arm comes from?
I think it comes from outside the organization. I think between now and August 31st, Alex probably has to go out and add an arm to this bullpen because Aaron Sanchez is running out of innings as well as he has pitched. Todd Redman is showing that in his career, 8-year minor leaguer, he's doing the best that he can do, but now he's getting beat up here in August, and those two games that he got beat up in, they were losses of five mm-hmm. runs and six runs. It could have been 1- and 2-run ball games. So you look at that, and then you see, too, Brett Cecil's not the same pitcher he was last year, and Steve Delabar's in AAA. For whatever reason, he lost it. Casey Jansen's been solid as a closer, no question about that. Dustin McGowan's been pretty good, too. But I think they need another arm out there to help compete at this level. Chad Jenkins is done pretty good work, but then it's been inconsistent. And so that's the issue, I think. It has to come from the outside of the organization. I think that's the one area of concern right now that John Gibbons has anyway regarding needing another arm if you're going to stay in this wild card race.
Okay, Jerry, speaking of arms, I'm a glass guy, half glass full. You know, you want to look at a positive thing here. With R.A. Dickey throwing today, is this going to be a good spot with him being facing a team that's very aggressive and watching yesterday that this team likes to swing often and early instead of the other way around? Do you see R.A. Dickey having a really good day today?
I do. The word, Jeff had me on about 2.5 months ago, and he said, what's the one word you have for R.A. Dickey? And I said, unpredictable.
Uh-huh.
And that's what he is. He could go 9 today, throw 115 or 20 pitches, and win this game 2-1. But it gets back to defense again behind him, plays made. So that's a big part of it. He's coming off a very good start in Seattle. Gave up only 2 runs on 7 hits over 6 innings. And the Blue Jays got shut out 2-0. So that's not the starters. And I think even yesterday, I heard you talk about Jay Happ. I know some balls were hit hard. But I thought Jay deserved better than what he ended up showing there on the line. 3 1/3, 4 runs, 6 hits. I think those lines can be misleading, too. But for R.A. Dickey, yes, it'd be nice if he could pick up the bullpen today. He might only go 2 innings. I'm not really sure because of that unpredictability of who R.A. is and how he pitches on the mound.
Right.
Jerry, I'm going to let you go rest the pipes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've got Dwayne Ward here, so all I have to do is say, what do you think, Dwayne?
Say hi to Ward for us.
Thanks a lot, Jerry. Pleasure, man.
Okay, you're welcome.
Take care. That is the voice of the Blue Jays, Jerry Howarth. Of course, Dwayne Ward joining him in the booth in Milwaukee. Joe Siddle doing work with Buck Martinez.
Sounds like there's a lot going on. It's not a lot of confidence around
the
team,
I got to tell you, I was going to say it's a little inside baseball, but when you got a guy who's the voice of the team.
Seen a lot of baseball.
Seen a lot of baseball, talks an awful lot to everybody around that team more than anybody else. Most of it off the record. A guy who has a pretty good pulse on what's going on in the manager's office, in the coach's office, and in the clubhouse. When you hear him, you know, basically... He was pretty clear about Colby Rasmus. It really does seem to me as if, I'm putting two and two together here, but it seems to me that the manager is really, really pissed off right now.
Well, his hands are tied a little, sounds like that.
They're tied, but I think he also, I had somebody send me an email last night during the game. A guy in the organization just sent me an email, says, watching the game on TV, says, Gibby looks like he's just lost something.
Well, the question is to me.
And I'm thinking, I know John Gibbons, he's watching the stuff that's going on out there. He's going, come on, you kidding me? You know, Colby Rasmus has got to. Colby Rasmus has to make a couple of those plays last night. He just does.
The question is, where do you go? That's the question. If I'm asking you and you're the manager, well, Jeff, where do you go here? You have what you have. It's not like you can, all of a sudden, you're going to come one day and make up a lineup that's exactly what you want. You have what you have. So how do you correct this to get your team going in the right direction? That's the question. It's a million-dollar question right now because nothing's working right or none of these pieces are working at the same time.
I also, quite frankly, I'm getting a little pissed off myself because I think, people are hammering on Juan Francisco, which is fine. He's an easy target. But you may want to send some of your ammo in Colby Rasmus's direction, too, because he's doing nothing.
It's one guy. That's what I say. Yes, he's put in a position where he's never been put in, and he shouldn't be playing every day. But they don't have a choice right now. That's the way it is. Again, you get back to a perfect world. He's not playing every day. He's coming off your bench. He's facing the guy that throws 99 miles an hour because he can get the head out in front of the plate and he can hit a home run in the 8th or 9th inning. That's a perfect world. Right now, it's not that way, and it's one guy out of 9 guys.
Yeah, if you're, if you're hammering on the 23rd, 24th, or 25th guy in the team,
Sometimes there's places for it, but sometimes you have to look other places, too, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Right.
We're going to talk about Dalton Pompey. He's let the world know that he's going to AAA. This kid is, we said earlier in the year he's coming like a freight train, and apparently he is. He's just one step away from the majors now. Kevin and I will talk about what that means, both for Dalton Pompey and maybe for some of the current Blue Jays. This is Baseball Central, brought to you by Home Hardware on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, to hell with the angry and bitter stuff, Parker.
It's over.
Anybody can be angry and bitter.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to hear the truth. And
yeah. We're going to talk positive.
That's our job.
We're going to talk positive about the Blue Jays for the next 23 minutes on Baseball Central. Brought to you by Home Hardware.
We should talk about what they need to do, and that's a step in the right direction. We'll go that direction with
it. Yeah. Travis says there's only 14 minutes left in the show. I said 23.
Oh.
He is a stickler for detail.
He is the smartest guy in Toronto, I think. Close.
And there's just a pause after that. That's really all that's needed. All right. Kevin, make me happy. Tell me something about the Blue Jays that should make me happy. I come up with a couple of
things. Wait, that makes you happy?
Yeah. I've come up with a couple of things.
This is what I'm thinking. I think you have to say, me personally watching the games, I think it's going to come down to a collective, because the first four guys in that lineup are really good.
Mm-hmm.
And any team would love to have those first four guys. And those first four guys can carry a team. They can get this team in the right direction. That's a positive. A positive that they have four guys to lean on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another positive that R.A. Dickey's been pitching better of late, which means he's keeping the ball in the yard, which, you know, we all know that instead of giving up the three-run homer, give up a solo homer, he's doing a better job of that, which means he has a better feel of the knuckleball. And like Travis said, he pitches better in the National League, which is another plus. That should make you happy. And he's in the National League.
That's two mentions of Travis's name. That's about enough.
Okay, well, he made a good point. But the point being is all of these things, you know, add up today of being a good game, which means they have an approach. Just have an approach. I know Gibby says he doesn't want these guys to change their approach. They don't have to do that. But having an approach when you go to the plate, watching the guy in front of you, how he's pitched to is probably how you're going to be pitched to, just like we saw last night. Fires pitched to just about everybody the same way. And you go up and making that adjustment. That's what we're saying. And if they can do those things, that's how streaks start. That's how you get on winning streaks. And the Jays need a May, the end of August, and September. If they can do that and win, they're going to have to string together, you know, a 15-2 run or one of those ridiculous numbers to get back in this thing and us have a conversation the other direction. Yeah. And they can do that with these four guys in the first four spots of the lineup. And it starts with R.A. Dickey today because, like Jerry said, it starts with pitching and defense. They can do those two things and rely on these first four guys. That's what I got for you. How was that?
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I've got some sort of bigger picture things, I guess. I mean, I'll look at the payroll for this team next year. There's payroll flexibility for next year, and I'm not going to focus just on next year. I'm with you. There's nothing wrong with the top four in that batting order. You've got to re-sign Melky Cabrera. I think that's apparent. I don't know if it's going to happen, but it has to be done. If Cabrera, Reyes, Encarnacion, and Batista are all back next year and they're happy to be here, then I think you can move forward with that. My one concern, and I know we're going to talk about this in the pregame show, my one concern is I think we're getting to the point now where I think we have to realize that Jose Reyes probably has one more year of shortstop left in him.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to move him to another position at some point. But I mean that was sort of bound to happen,
right?
More than anything else. The other thing, and I don't know, people get tired of me saying this, but again, Drew Hutchison, Aaron Sanchez, Marcus Stroman.
Those are ifs.
They're ifs. But you know what? The Jays haven't had ifs. Homegrown ifs before. Mm-hmm. They've had a lot of other guys' ifs, a lot of other organizations'
good
ifs.
Good way to look at it.
This is something that people have been wanting this organization to do for 5 or 6 years, develop homegrown pitching. They've done that. And they've done it to the point where they've got a little bit of depth. And by the way, Daniel Norris, who I didn't even include in there, he'll be joining Tim and Sid today at 1:40, or actually Sid, I guess. Tim isn't here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's pitching depth, despite the fact that the Jays traded a guy that most people consider to be their top pitching prospect last year, Noah Syndergaard, as part of the R.A. Dickey thing. So are there things that make me really confident about what the Jays are going to do this afternoon? Maybe R.A. Dickey's ability to pitch against the National League and the top four of that lineup. Mm-hmm. But looking forward, you know, looking down the road, and down the, by down the road, I mean later on, you know, next year. I think this team's in pretty decent shape. This year, though, I mean, I'm with Jerry. I think Alex has got to get Anthony Gose up here. You've got to get Ryan Goins up here. You've got to put the best players you have in your organization right now. They have to be on the field. That's all there is to it. They have to be on the field as much as possible. You owe nothing to Colby Rasmus. You owe nothing to Juan Francisco. You've got to put the best players you have in your organization on the field for as many innings as possible. And, that's kind of where I am with this right now.
You're looking at it as more you want to stop runs instead of score runs, because the two guys you mentioned are going to be at the bottom of the lineup, and really how much are they going to hit? Right now, their problem is they have to, you know, Jerry said you have to stop runs, but you also have to score runs.
Yeah, you know what, though? I'll tell you what. I have more faith in Ryan Goins and Anthony Gose and in their ability to try to create something than I do with the bottom of this order.
Well,
right now.
It's back to your point. It gives it a different look. Your look is a different. You give opposing teams. The whole point of that situation is you want to put as much pressure on defenses, which means, because you're going to face really good teams here coming up, Tampa Bay, New York, Baltimore, all of these teams you're going to be facing, you have to put pressure on defenses. And those two guys can do that with speed, bunting, and then they play really good defense. Is that what you want on your team? That's the way you're going to look? It's a different look, and it gives you options. And I mean, is it a little bit of a reach? Maybe.
I just want to let people know that first pitch this afternoon is at 2:10. It's on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet. Just give you the lineups again for the Jays: Reyes, Cabrera, Bautista, Encarnacion, Rasmus, Valencia, Tholey, Kawasaki, and Dickey. For the Brewers, it's Gomez, Lucroy, Ryan Braun, Aramis Ramirez, Gerardo Parra, Scooter Gennett, Mark Reynolds, Gene Segura, and Jimmy Nelson. That's the Milwaukee Brewers lineup. All right, I want to talk a little bit about Dalton Pompey. We've talked about him in the past. He's a local kid. He's rocketed through the organization. He said on Twitter last night that he will be going to AAA Buffalo. Now, it is late in the minor league season, but Kevin, a couple of things. First of all, this means that this kid is going to have played high A, Florida State League, double A, the Eastern League, which is arguably the best double A league out there, and now AAA. That's a lot to throw in a kid's plate in 1 year. You've done the whole climb the minor league ladder.
Yeah, not that fast. That's moving really fast. Yeah. I think that says one of two things: that the Jays are super high on this kid and look at this kid being in the big leagues sooner than later, which means possibly September. Now, who knows if that would be the case, but you don't move that fast. And it says another thing, that this kid makes adjustments really quick, because you can see his batting average is going up each level. He's not striking out as much, which means he's learning his swing. He's learning the strike zone, which that's the difference in a big league pitcher and a minor league pitcher, is minor league pitchers don't know the strike zone. Mm-hmm. Big league guys know where to get guys out. That's the difference. And you have to know what you can and can't hit. And it seems to me like this kid is finding it out quicker than most. That's why he's moving up the levels. They're just not going to move him up just to be doing it. They have to see something in him. And, man, he's moving. Like you said, he's made three jumps in 1 year, really in about 3 months. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, that's doing it in a hurry, and that's making adjustments in a hurry. And, you know, if he can get even to AAA and get that experience to see veteran guys that's been in the big leagues, pitched in the big leagues, and he gets to see them, is only going to help him either when he goes back to AAA the first of next year, or maybe he has a chance of competing for jobs here. It's only going to help. And you know, you like to see kids do that, because it doesn't happen every day.
Yeah, he's awfully young. He's really athletic. And as Kevin said, the number that really stands out to me is the fact that he appears, as he's gone up levels, and certainly in his move from single A to double A, I mean, 18 strikeouts and 14 walks. And you're joining the Eastern League halfway through their season, and you've got double A is where all the prospects are.
Right.
You got a lot of guys who are that close to the majors in the middle of their season.
Skip the AAA level.
Yeah, but in the middle of their season, pitching well.
mm-hmm.
and you come up and you compete against guys who are sort of in the heat, you know, they've been at double A for a while. They're in the middle of their season. You're coming up, you're seeing guys possibly, more than likely, at their very best. They're through all the early season kinks and all that stuff.
Being a guy that was a hitter, the hardest problem I had was making an adjustment quick, knowing my swing, knowing what I could and couldn't hit. It took me a long time. That's why I wasn't in the big leagues longer. That's the bottom line. You can say it any way you want to say it, but the reason why I wasn't, as a person, not in the big leagues a long time is because I did not figure my swing out early. He's doing it, mm-hmm. obviously, because he's making these jumps and he's competing, like you said. He's not striking out. He's getting on base. And he's fast. Yeah. Who doesn't want a guy that can create havoc on the bases? That's what the Jays need. So,
and, you know, and we had an earlier discussion with Sal Fasano. We were talking about the catchers and the pitchers. Sal, of course, is the Jays' minor league catching coordinator, roving catching instructor. And essentially what he was saying is, you know, you've got access to video and advanced scouting and everything in the majors. You get a little bit of it at Triple A, and you get Triple A, you get the knowledge of guys who've been around for a long time. But essentially what he was saying is that the lower levels, you're kind of, the idea is learn your game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's learn your game and try to be better than the guy pitching mm-hmm. who's also learning his game. It's a little bit more about you, about learning yourself, about what you can do and can't do. And that gets to your point about Dalton Pompey. When I see a guy making those strides and competing,
mm-hmm.
The first thing I'm thinking of is this is a guy who knows himself pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
Nobody can teach you that.
Impressive.
You have to learn it yourself. And he's doing it quicker than everybody else. That's why he's making these moves. And obviously he's turning a lot of heads with the Jays because, like I said, being a guy that was in the minor leagues a long time, they don't do this. They mm-hmm. don't call guys up three levels in 1 year and months at a time. I mean, he's only in places a couple of months. They don't do that. Unless you have figured it out and figured it out quicker than everybody else, and they are trying to get you to levels, like you said, that show you more experience than just learning your swing. Now he's in AAA. He's going to have that experience of facing guys that's been in the big leagues that you're going to see better breaking balls. You're going to see guys trying to set you up like they do in the big leagues. That's what you learn. Now it's an experience thing more of, now, oh, by the way, I know my swing. Mm-hmm. Now I know I can't hit this, so I'm going to swing at it. That's what AAA is about. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch him. We're seeing, because we're seeing him grow up before our eyes. So it's really cool, man, because you don't see it every day.
By the way, he left a gift for the at AA New Hampshire. He homered last night before, I guess, apparently finding out he's going to Buffalo. Again, this is just...
Go out with a bang.
Pompey, yeah, go out with a bang.
Why not?
Both a bang indeed. All right, that is it for us today. Let's get you set for what's going on. The Jays will be playing this afternoon, obviously. First pitch is at 2:10 on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. It'll be R.A. Dickey against Jimmy Nelson. The Jays will have tomorrow off. Friday they start a 9-game homestand with the first of 3 against Tampa Bay, Marcus Stroman against Drew Smyly, Mark Burley against Jeremy Hellickson, and then Sunday, Drew Hutchison against Chris Archer. And, of course, we'll have all those games on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet. Tomorrow is our home hardware Ask the Expert. No, it's not tomorrow. It's Friday is a home hardware Ask the Expert. When do we have Gibby on this week? Do we know yet? Tomorrow or Friday? Gibby's Friday as well.
Mm-hmm. Big day Friday.
Big day Friday indeed. Mm-hmm. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have a lot to talk about. Jay's trying to end the misery of this road trip. 1-6 going into today's game at Miller Park against the Milwaukee Brewers. For Jerry Howarth, Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair. Thanks for joining us today on Baseball Central. Don't forget, 2:10 p.m., Jays Brewers and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Sportsnet. Have a great day, everybody.